Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Hello and welcome along to the Let Us Forza Italian Football Podcast. We're all still here despite all of the Serie A action not quite being here. I'm Connor Clancy, joining me as ever, Kev Pogzielski. Kev, hello.
Hi Connor, how you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks. I'm kind of locked into my city here in Parma, but it's other than that, everything's okay. Vito, you all good?
Yeah, I'm all right, but I do feel kind of hollow because we've basically just watched half a round of football. So, yeah, it's going to be a unique podcast, but just got to go through it. But it doesn't feel the same, let's be honest. I mean, I would have loved to have seen the other games, but the Italian authorities did what they had to do.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? Because as Kev was saying, it doesn't feel like a round of football has actually been played, but some of the teams at the top played, some of the teams at the bottom played, so we have a little bit from all over to discuss, but I don't know. It's going to be a strange one. Kev, is everything okay with you?
Yeah, I think it's because today, because we usually pod on a Monday, and that's usually when the majority. A Sunday, and that's when the majority of the games are, and we've only seen two games, so it doesn't feel like there's been six games this weekend. And it's just a little surreal.
No, well, we're actually recording now when a game would usually be being played. And because of this, I'm actually able to go and have a drink and socialise with people after we record. So this is really unusual. I don't really know what's happening, but let's just take it as it comes. We'll start, I suppose, as we tend to, at the top of Serie A. Juve went away to Ferrara. They played Spal. They won 2-1. Cristiano Ronaldo scored for the 11th consecutive Serie A game. Vito, he's levelled Gabriel Batistuta and someone else's record. Oh, that's right. That terrible striker, Fabio Quagliarella, who I think did it last season. Yeah, really poor.
Yes.
But it's an impressive record for the Portuguese.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that we use his age a lot, but you know, to do it at 35, that's still pretty impressive. Okay, Quagliarella was 36, so again, his record was still incredible, but just shows, you know, for Quagliarella and even with Ronaldo, they're the type of guys that age gracefully. And Ronaldo, he's still kept himself in good condition. He's helping this Juve team maintain its domestic dominance. And I also do feel that he probably could have even scored quite a few more goals in this game because he did score with that trademark header of his, but there were probably a few other chances that he could have put away to really add some extra gloss to this victory.
Yeah, Kev, have you got any superlatives to describe Cristiano after this record?
Well, I was trying to work out then if Vito was putting Quagliarella in the same bracket as Batistuta and Cristiano. But
of course, yes. Why shouldn't he?
But well, you know my views. It isn't he hasn't had the chance to add to his tally this year, so we'll wait until the rearranged games have gone by. But no, I think the fact that sometimes these records that Cristiano hits just pass you by is because of just how good he is. And although I suppose I am a slight fan of Messi more than Ronaldo, the fact that he scores four this weekend makes those people that like to sort of have the who is the greatest argument come out from underneath the woodwork, just fail to actually accept that he is, alongside Messi, probably one of the greatest footballers that our generation, putting myself in your generation as well, Connor,
are
likely to ever see.
Incorrect, because how old are you, Kev?
Well, I am a millennial.
How old are you, Kev?
I am 38.
Okay, so you are 150% of my age. More, actually, but ish, give or take. You're not in the same generation as me, but you can cling on to that for as long as you like. Just because we speak on a weekly basis, Kev, it doesn't mean that we're pals, okay?
I'm young at heart.
You're younger than me at heart, to be fair. I think we've got something mixed up when we met in Turin all those years ago. Something got swapped over. I became old and you became young. It's not quite worked out too well for me. But anyway, let's get back to the football, shall we? Cristiano Ronaldo. I've seen him a few times since he's come over to Italy, obviously. I don't think I had seen him play in the flesh before he moved to Juventus. This was the first time, Vito, that I watched him and thought, I'm actually looking at one of the greatest footballers the game has ever seen. There was just something about him and the way he was moving. He seemed a lot more up for this than I've seen him before. And am I just reading a little bit too much into that? Or is he warming up nicely for the Champions League, getting to its decisive stages now as well?
I'd like to think that he's warming up for the Champions League. Like I said, he did have quite a few chances to score. And there was another chance in particular near the end where he took a free kick, hit the crossbar, and with the rebound, he had a go on the volley. Unfortunately, went straight to Ettore Berisha, but even if it was the original free kick or the volley on the rebound, they would have been superb strikes, and more superlatives would have come up. Overall, in his general play, I still thought it was pretty good, and there was even one moment I noticed where he still brought out some of the old step overs. It didn't work out at the end, but to have the audacity to do what he did just reminded me of when he first went to Manchester United all those years ago, and that seemed to be all we did, and that was his way of trying to bamboozle players. So, we saw a bit of what we've become to know of Ronaldo, and then also a little bit of what he was known for when he had first emerged, at least in the major leagues.
Kev, question, one word answer. Who's better, Quagliarella or Cristiano?
Cristiano.
No, incorrect. All right, moving on. Paulo Dybala was definitely Juve's most important player in this game, as he has kind of established himself as under Maurizio Sarri this season. And again, Kev, you just keep thinking back to the summer when Juve were desperately trying to get rid of this guy. What were they thinking?
Yeah, I have no idea, because irregardless of how he may have performed the year before this, you know, he's got youth on his side. He's a clearly superbly talented player. This year, I think that has sort of kind of got to him, the fact that they were willing to move him on this summer. And he's been so influential at times for Juve. There's been games where, if you were to watch the highlight reel of a Juventus game, it's almost all Dybala.
Yeah, he's obviously a special talent. And we saw him take kind of a leadership role last week when he kind of told the Curva to shut up because they were whistling players. And he did it more with his ability this week. He was taking the ball. He was dropping deep. He was playing incredible passes. He put one ball through for Cristiano to score with in the first half, which was right in front of the press box. And the pass was superb. Obviously, the goal went in. It was ruled out for offside, rightly so. Cristiano was, I think, the length of a foot off. But he's just so good to watch when he's on it like that. And in the second half, I think it was in the build-up to the goal, actually, he came in and played a ball down the right to Cuadrado, and then he assisted Ramsey's goal. And Ramsey is another person who caught my eye here, Vito. That was probably his best performance of the season for Juve. He seems to be finding his role in that midfield now. And Inter play Juve next week. I think that's Inter in as well. So with Cristiano firing, Dybala really finding his form, and Ramsey clicking into gear as well, Inter should be worried.
They should be. I mean, just with Cuadrado, he did have a good game, but Ronaldo and Dybala, them two, I think, should pose more than enough danger for the Inter defence. And if the rest of the team can keep clicking, that would be really beneficial for the Bianconeri. Ramsey in particular, well, he scored a lovely goal with that chip, but even just his overall play, I think operating from a deeper position in midfield instead of playing in the hole behind the strikers suits him. And that way, he just seems to be picking out more passes. His link-up play was much improved compared to other games. And it looks like that this is the way forward for him. And I suppose from this perspective, Maurizio Sarri doesn't have to worry too much about getting Sami Khedira back from injury, because Ramsey can probably do a bit more than Khedira offensively, especially when he is coming from deep and getting into those goal-scoring positions. He just wasn't doing it as an attacking midfielder or trequartista.
Kev, Giorgio Chiellini was back in the starting 11. He played alongside probably the worst defender Juve have in Daniele Rugani. And as promising, as exciting, as threatening as they were in possession, whenever Spal got near their final third, or indeed whenever Juve had the ball in their own final third, they were very, very shaky.
Who, Juve?
Yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood your question there. Yeah, I didn't. Well, there wasn't a great deal of coverage on the Spal attacks, really. I think if they were as bad as that, you'd be a little bit worried for the Champions League. But then, you know, you take it with a pinch of salt, because as you said, Rugani is arguably their worst central defender, and Chiellini's barely played any minutes at all apart from coming on last week for Juve. So it could be a sign that they may concede midweek, but again, Chiellini's one of those players that when the chips are down, you kind of expect him to become this wall for the Champions League knockouts for Juve this week.
Kev, can you work out why Rugani's still at Juventus? Because I can't.
Well, you know, it's not just in defence. There's players like Khedira, like Emre Can, who only went in January, that Juve just couldn't move enough chess pieces to restructure the squad and get rid of players. And maybe nobody came in for them. Maybe they came in and the initial discussions were not what Juve were willing to discuss with regards to a fee, or maybe what he's willing to entertain as a salary. And I think a huge club like Juve, you'll always find players that will either stick around because of what they're earning, or the personal circumstances suit them, or maybe nobody just comes in for them. And then you've effectively got to use what you've got there, even if it is sparingly and every now and again. And let's face it, they're playing a team that are relegated. This was a further nail in the coffin, so there was no real risk playing him.
That's strange, right? We'll move over to Spal now, because it does look like they're doomed. We said it last week, they're on 15 points. Samper 17th on 23. 8 points is a big gap to overcome at the top of the table. Never mind at the bottom of the table when you've only picked up 15 and 25 so far. To turn that margin around, it doesn't seem likely. But I still haven't seen Spal play badly this season, so I can't quite work out what is actually happening there. Every time I've seen them, they've played quite well. And again, I've not watched them as often as I've seen other teams. But they can pose a threat. They can be solid at the back. Less so now with Di Biagio in charge and not Semplici. But I can't quite work it out. I don't know what's happening here, Vito.
Well, even under Di Biagio, when I look at that lineup, he seems to have some players in decent enough positions for his 4-3-3 to work. I think it's just more, I suppose some of it's just down to squad quality that after a while under Semplici, maybe they just, you know, needed a fresh change. But ultimately, Spal's problem since they've returned to Serie A is that they haven't really been clinical enough. Petagna has been excellent, but aside from Petagna, there aren't enough contributors. Mattia Valotti, he's the kind of guy that can come from midfield and score goals and chip in here and there, but he's someone that needs to do it enough. Alessandro Murgia, who usually features, it seems that he only scored goals when he was at Lazio, and he only did it against Juventus. Everyone else, I don't think he was scoring much himself. And Federico Di Francesco, he hasn't really settled in at Spal. He's had his moments, but he's had injuries too. So it's very hard to pinpoint where the other goals are going to come from if Petagna's not scoring. And ultimately, that's probably going to be the downside, that without Petagna, there isn't that source, other source of goals, or there aren't other avenues to goal. Players who are going to chip in, whether it be from open play or from dead ball situations.
Kev, does Petagna get into the Italy squad at this rate? He's got 10 goals for a team who, how many have Spal got in Serie A this season? They've got 19. So he scored more than half of their Serie A goals. And it's not like they create too many chances. Is he deserving of a place at the European Championship?
I think his own personal performances would be deserving of a place. I think the second part of that question is then, how does Mancini want to play with the national side? Is he looking for a Petagna type player? And then also what else is ahead of him? But certainly his personal performances for Spal would, even with them being, you know, bottom of the table, would mean him, he's got to be in the discussion.
I think he should go, even if he's not quite fitting in with how Mancini wants to play. He's not a bad backup option. He's a monster, and he can just absolutely terrorise anyone he plays against. I mean, he gave Chiellini a difficult time. I know the goal came later on, but he had trouble in the first half as well. But yeah, everyone knows what I think of Andrea Petagna, so we'll leave that there. Spal, big, big trouble. I'm going to see them again this weekend, provided Serie A goes ahead. We don't actually know what's going to happen. There are talks that the games this weekend are going to be played behind closed doors, but we'll have to just wait and see. If it's behind closed doors, I'm pretty sure Spal are in Parma, so that's just up the street from me, so I can make my way there. But if I have to get a train anywhere, it's probably not going to be happening. What's next? Ah, Lazio. Lazio went away to your hometown, I suppose, Vito, in Genova, not to play your boys, though, to play the others. And it was a great game, and Lazio came out on top. A big, big signal, Vito, at a ground that they've usually struggled at, that they're up for it.
Yeah, they're certainly up for it. And also, I felt that although they were winning by two goals, there were moments where the Grifone did give Lazio a bit of a scare. They did have the few chances. They tried to search for an equaliser, but in these cases, Lazio showed that they've got the quality to change the game around and turn things in their favour. They converted their chances, and that was even with Felipe Caicedo squandering a good enough chance to make it 2-0 early on. And although Crisito scored that penalty near the end, they were still able to hold on for the 3 points. And I think that's one of those many things with the Scudetto challenges, that they don't crumble in the late minutes. Another team probably would have allowed Genoa to score a late equaliser, but Lazio did not, and thank goodness for that.
Kev, another example of Lazio winning again and once more in another way.
Yeah, I think where Vito touches on how resolute they are in the final moments is something to be said for having the core of that team together for so long now. You know, there's not been so much change and fluctuation, and Inzaghi's been able to the sort of Mulder side there that are sort of grinding these results out. And they've kind of passed that period where they had the derby, albeit they drew against Roma, but then they came past Inter. And, you know, they're in this race and they fully deserve it.
We did have Alessandro Bai at the game at the Marassi, so I'm going to go and speak to him now.
Ciao, Alessandro. What a game that was. Not bad for a first visit to the Marassi.
Well, yes, I definitely can't complain about my first game as a journalist at the Stadio Luigi Ferraris. I saw 5 goals. 3 of them were very nice, with the one from Cassata winning probably the award of the best goal of the afternoon, at least in Genoa. But above all, I managed to see two very motivated sides playing a spectacular game. Of course, they were motivated for different reasons. We know that Genoa are struggling to avoid relegation, but I think they can do it because they definitely put up a fight against Lazio. They managed to stay in the game until the very end. And when they upped the pace in the second half, it was quite difficult for Lazio to cope with it. Although, of course, the visitors had more quality.
Yeah, I think that quality was just about what shone through and proved decisive for the Biancocelesti. But they just keep on impressing, right? Every single week we sit here on the podcast, we speak to Alistair or whoever has been at a Lazio game that given week, and they just keep finding new ways. What did you make of them today?
Well, looking at the final score, one might think of a very tight match. And in fact, it was, because the game remained open until the very end. But overall, we can say that it was another brilliant display by Lazio. And I don't think it was so easy for them to focus on this match after last week's win over Inter, because they were two completely different games, one against one of the biggest teams in Italy, and this one against a team fighting for relegation. So it could have been, I think, a tricky fixture, but Lazio had just a perfect approach, taking the lead within 2 minutes, and it paved the way for a perfect plan for them, because they could make the most of their huge technique in midfield. Luis Alberto and Milinkovic Savic are just incredible. They can move the ball. They can deliver fantastic assists, and they have strength. but especially, I think Lazio are so good in different kind of situations, and I think this is the main strength of the team, because they know how to be creative, how to create many chances. At times they can rely on counter-attacks. They can also sit back, because in the second part of the first half, Genoa started to push a bit. They were more intense, they upped the pace, and they were dangerous, especially on set pieces. But Lazio were so solid at the back. And honestly, this is making all the difference compared to the other seasons, because today, even Vavro, who has not played, I don't know, for months, for weeks, I don't know, Simone Inzaghi was praising him, because, I mean, he was called upon to replace Acerbi, which was not definitely an easy task, but he did so well, especially in the first half. So I think that if they go on like that, Lazio can really, really be serious Scudetto chasers.
Yeah, we saw Alistair McKenzie talking about Vavro on Twitter, and Alistair seems to have gone from being the one person at FIF not believing in Lazio and their title credentials to being the most carried away of anyone on the website. But over to Genoa then. You touched on it. They have shown some improvements lately and they put up a fight again today. Do you think the defeat will hurt them or can they take some serious heart from the performance?
As for Genoa, I think it won't be easy for them to be positive now after this defeat. But I believe that their fans can be optimistic about the future because Davide Nicola is definitely the right man to try to steer the team to more Serie A football, because they showed it today against one of the best teams in Italy. Most of the problems are in defense, because, for example, the first goal from Marusic, he was able to break into the box with two men chasing him, and probably it could have been stopped before reaching the box. And the same goes for the goal by Immobile, which came after a poor clearance following a challenge on Caicedo. So, yeah, Genoa have some defensive woes and they need to be solved. But at the same time, I think the positive notes come from the team's attitude, because there was a clear will to stay in the game until the end. Danilo Cataldi's goal, third goal for Lazio, could have killed off the game with 20 minutes to go. But instead, Genoa showed how determined they are to earn points. And this is very important for teams involved in the relegation battle. So I think that in the long term, probably some of the teams, some of the Genoa competitors are better in terms of individualities, but Davide Nicola is shaping a very compact team, and these could make the difference for Genoa in the long term. So I think that this defeat against Lazio can be a starting point for Genoa to be even more motivated.
That's great, Ale. We'll speak to you again soon.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is there any other English-speaking Italian football website, podcast, YouTube channel, Instagram account, Twitter account that goes to Serie A games every week?
No, we're the only one, aren't we?
We are the only ones. Good answer. You've learned quickly. Good boy. AC Milan went down to Florence while they were allowed to leave the city. They drew 1-1 and everyone's angry at the referee, Kev. But was it the referee's fault they threw away a one-goal lead against 10 men and a side who are, in truth, pretty poor themselves?
No, it was Milan's just mediocrity, which probably should be the title of their season review DVD. I do feel a little bit that the VAR, which picked up the ball striking Ibrahimovic's arm when his goal was disallowed, is harsh, soft, whatever we want to use.
It's not.
These are the rules.
Exactly. It's literally the rule.
Yeah. In another era, we wouldn't be discussing it, but we are in this era. Yeah, they are the rules. So stop moaning, Milan fans.
Handling the ball. It is an offence if a player deliberately touches the ball with their hand or arm, including moving the hand arm towards the ball, or gains possession, control of the ball after it has touched his arm and then scores in the opponent's goal or creates a goal-scoring opportunity. Did or did not Zlatan Ibrahimovic have the ball hit his arm and then score a goal?
Yes, and yes. I think that's a lovely tattoo you've got.
What tattoo?
That rule written on your arm.
It's on my phone. I've got the internet, Kev. Italy hasn't completely shut down yet. But, I mean, it's literally the rule. There can be no arguing with that, and I don't get it. The penalty one, Vito, I'm not sure what you thought about this, but it was, the referee gave the penalty. He thought it was a foul, and just deal with it.
Yeah, I was surprised with that because I thought that was a pretty good tackle by Romagnoli. So I thought he got the ball, and just as he was sliding, he managed to get contact with Cutrone as well. So I think in that moment, Calvarese, the referee, he should have went to VAR and just double-checked. But he seemed pretty confident. And generally, I think Calvarese is a decent referee. But this is probably the worst performance I've seen from him. That being said, just because he had a poor game refereeing doesn't disguise the problems that Milan have on the pitch.
I wouldn't have said it was a good tackle, but I would have argued that Cutrone wasn't exactly in control of the. He kind of made the most of the challenge coming in. He sort of went to step across Romagnoli because he knew the tackle was going to be coming in, and neither, if you like, got full solid contact, you know, on the ball or control of the ball. But it is what it is. Like Vito's just said, the Milan fans are just, in the flip side, they sort of talk about all these new signings, if they're next, the best thing since sliced bread, and they're going to be the person that's going to transform them into a side challenging for European places. And, you know, and then they have dodgy, well, not, no, they just have refereeing decisions go against them. And then suddenly it's everybody's fault apart from their own.
Yeah, they're absolutely infuriating, to be honest with you. But I don't know, Stefano Pioli got a nice welcome back to the Artemio Franchi, which you very much like to see. The circumstances that he had to negotiate his way through during his time in Florence were far from ideal. Obviously, being the man in charge when Davide Astori passed away tragically, and he steadied that ship and did an okay job with them until being dismissed. So it was quite nice to see that football fans aren't always terrible and that they can sometimes have a heart. But Fiorentina, Vito, are there any positives here? They fought back with 10 men, but then they looked terrible when they had 11 men on the pitch.
Yeah, it was just one of those paradoxical things, I suppose, with Fiorentina. Just watching Fiorentina play, they didn't look particularly inspiring going forward. And even defensively, I've probably even seen better from them this season in terms of keeping things tight at the back and so forth. But it just was one of those perplexing things that even once Dalbert got sent off and Castrovilli was taken off for Cutrone, just they looked like a different team in those last 25 minutes or so. And they probably could have gone on to win the game, but Asmir Begovic, who took the place of Gianluigi Donnarumma in the second half, he made some important stops, and he probably denied Fiorentina the victory. Otherwise, if Donnarumma was still in goal, Donnarumma sometimes has those games where he makes some bizarre errors and could have cost Milan the game. But yeah, now we're just coming to the point where we're just theorising and thinking of the what ifs.
Kev, do Fiorentina have the worst defenders in Serie A?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/acast. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, last year they had the worst midfield. Now we're giving them the worst defenders, are we? No, probably not quite that bad, but they are. They're in a sort of similar bracket as Milan. And again, doing the fans, I remember at the start of the season where they were lauding the players that they brought in. They just never seem to get themselves organised and to make an actual solid push on anything above mid-table.
I think these two clubs, you know, are the exact same. They've got the strange online fan base who think they have a divine right to be so much better than they actually are. And whenever there's any sign of someone coming in who could potentially lift them to a level above what they are, they act as if they are the greatest thing in the world and as if they are a complete savior, when really most of the players that both of these clubs sign now are just quite good, if not slightly better than average.
They both done it with aging footballers this year. Ribery came in and that was, you know, the savior for Fiorentina, you know, ignoring the fact that he's in his mid to late 30s, he's 36 now. And then Ibrahimovic comes in for Milan. It's like, what do these people expect from somebody who's, you know, at that age, regardless of their obvious talent?
Yeah, I don't know. They've both got good goalkeepers, though, so there's that, at least. And let's move on, shall we? Napoli went to Brescia. They won 2-0. Fabian Ruiz, what a goal, Vito Doria.
Oh, superb strike by Fabian Ruiz. He scored something similar about a week or two ago when Napoli played Inter in the Coppa Italia semi-finals and won that game. And this time he was the hero once again. He's got fabulous technique. I mean, excellent passing range and all that. He likes to mix it up with his passing. It's not just a square ball or anything like that. But that strike in particular, he was involved in the build-up and he was involved in exchanges with his teammates as they went from the middle to the right side of the pitch and then to get onto his left foot with that curl. And Jesse Jordanen didn't really have much chance to stop that one. Just, probably one of the best goals of the round, if not the best one for sure.
Yeah, and he did it recently as well, wasn't it? I've completely forgotten every bit of football that's ever happened. In the Coppa Italia, wasn't it, against Inter when he scored another really nice goal, having not done all that much all season. Kev, what's funny?
Vito just referenced that very goal. Were you not listening?
No, I was, I was trying to count what matches were not played. I lost my mind for a little minute. So apologies. Maybe I'll edit this out. Maybe I'll just leave it as is. Brescia. In the same boat as Spal. I think we said this last week, Kev, but they're 7 points off safety themselves. They're done.
Yeah, I mean, I see Brescia as going down. And it was, you know, when we're, if we pull Spal into the conversation ever so quickly, it's at the end of the game where they say that Brescia's got 2 points out of possible 24. And, you know, something inside me made me think Spal could get out of it, but Brescia couldn't. But then when you realise that Brescia have taken that few amount of points from those available, that if Spal cannot even get above them and overturn that, both are ultimately doomed this season.
I do actually agree that Spal are more likely to stay up than Brescia are. Maybe it's just because they know what they're doing that little bit more, but there is only one team in Serie A history, I think, who have ever recovered and survived from this low of a point. And it wasn't too long ago. Remember Crotone in 2016-17, that remarkable comeback. Who knows, maybe Spal or Brescia can do that. And I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, sorry, I tried to get excited and then completely convinced myself that I was wrong while I was speaking. Roma beat Lecce 4-0. I definitely didn't see this coming, Vito, did you?
No, especially with the latest form slump, Roma, and also with Lecce's recent run of wins, I was a bit surprised because, looking at the lineup, they still had Virtu and Cristante as that midfield pivot there, that duo that's in front of the defence. And Gianluca Mancini, look, he's a good central defender, but I think a few times he was getting exposed because there wasn't the Awara defensive mid, and with Florenzi gone on loan to Valencia and they tried Santon there. I think Santon's been terrible. I think that made things worse for Mancini. But somehow the Vertu-Cusante duo worked out fine. Bruno Perez played at right back from the start instead of Santon, which I think that alone is something worthwhile. But I think the front line, they managed to click into gear. You know, Mkhitaryan had a top game. Dzeko had another fine game. I was involved in about two or three of the goals. And Cengiz Under opened the scoring with a lovely goal. So a bit of flashbacks from his time when he was playing under Di Francesco and looked like he was going to break through as one of the, you know, premier wingers in Serie A.
Kev, Roma have closed the gap to them between themselves and Atalanta to 3 points now. Of course, Atalanta didn't play. I suppose that's good news for them. It gives them that little bit of positivity.
Yeah, it's certainly positive from their point of view. I think there was a little bit of the perfect storm about this game where Roma have been subpar for so many weeks that couldn't continue forever, whereas Lecce have been punching well above their weight in a number of games in the last sort of 3 to 4 weeks, and they almost reverted to where their position in the league and the points that they've got probably indicate they are, and that just came together for this sort of a resounding victory for Roma. But whereas I think Lecce will probably sort of brush it off, actually Roma winning with this margin of victory can prove enough to keep them kicking on to try and keep chase with Atalanta.
Yeah, of course. Well, Atalanta's game with Sassuolo, as well as Verona Cagliari, Torino Parma and Inter Sampdoria, were postponed because of the coronavirus, and we don't know when those games are going to be played yet. Obviously, Atalanta's game and Inter's game is probably largely dependent on what those two teams manage to do in Europe. Torino Parma and Verona Cagliari will be a lot easier to accommodate in the calendar, but it's hard to really cast too much judgments on what's happened in Serie A this weekend, given the context at both the top, the race for fourth, and at the bottom. It's still unknown because Inter, Atalanta and Sampdoria didn't play. So that brings us to the end for this week, guys. Nice and short pod because we've only had half a round of fixtures. Any final thoughts before we disappear?
Yes.
Oh, of course you do.
I told you last week that Atalanta would score 3. Vito owes me a beer when I next see him. And you told
yes.
me you were very sceptical, Connor, but I think you were trying to hold back any optimism as a Atalanta fan. That I just want to put it on record. Vito owes.
Okay.
We'll be calling that in.
What happens
And
then?
I'm willing to honour my bet.
But realistically, probably not going to see Mr. Doria until the summer. So what happens what happens when Quagliarella scores his 15th goal of the season? Does Vito just buy me a beer? Or are you still going to want one and then buy me one?
I think if Quagliarella doesn't hit 15 goals, Vito owes me 2 and you owe me 1, Connor.
No.
Is that not just between me and you? Is he in on that too?
All right, okay. Well, maybe we could change this beer into an Atalanta magnet, but let's not get on that at the end of the pod.
No, let's not get on that again. You mean they've listened to that far too many times. But no, you should be worried that this game, the Sampdoria game, was called off, because Quagliarella gets better the older he gets, right? So the fact that this game hasn't played means by the time he plays it, he will be older than he would have originally been when the game was played. So he's going to score twice as many goals. So that penalty now becomes 2 penalties. So you're in trouble, Kev.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, everyone. Head over to ForzaItalianFootball.com to read all of our stuff. We've got opinion pieces, news, podcasts that you're listening to, unless you're watching on YouTube. Then head over and listen to the podcast and you'll hear Alessandro. See, I do know his name. And yeah, we're at games every week. Even if fans aren't allowed to go to games, we'll probably be allowed to go to the games next week. So speak to you soon. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
sta gente che fai sospirare. Roma, 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 lassaci canta. Da sta voce nasce un coro, so 100.000 voci che hai fatto innamorare.
What would you do if I said I've not been recording any of this?
I would just said an elongated no.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.